was almost like the trees had choreographed the rhythm of that music. We are continuing our sermon series on prophets, and tonight we're going to be learning about the prophet of Daniel. I have two things that are a little bit funny to tell you about. In seminary, my mom was my editor, okay? I'm dyslexic, and being my editor is almost embarrassing for me to hand over a paper to, so it must be somebody that I love and I trust. And she said, just be careful with the word prophet, Kim, because when you were in seminary, you spelled it wrong every single time, like financial prophet. Anyhow, I have now been a pastor long enough that my Word document and my phone understands what it means when I'm talking about prophets. So I was a little proud about that as I was typing it to somebody. But I found a lot of interesting things about Daniel, and I want to start with a little historical context, and then we'll dive into the story about who he is and what it means for us still today. So he is set in about the 6th century BCE, when many, many Jews were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon in the destruction of the first temple. So he, though, is a kind of a Judean elite, and he rises in the royal courts, but throughout all of this rising, he is always reflecting God, even in foreign lands. Daniel and his friends remain faithful to God and steadfast for their faith in a culture that pressured them aggressively not to do so. There is a central theological theme that you'll find in the book of Daniel. Essentially, it's that God is sovereign over all. Not just you or a church, but over all things. We're going to talk about Daniel's dreams and visions because I feel like we talk a lot about Daniel in the lion's den, but there's a lot more depth to this. And we're really going to focus on what Son of Man means. In Daniel 7, he says that there is a beast representing empires and the coming of one like a Son of Man who receives authority to God. This same language will be used again in Matthew to talk about this vision and who Son of Man is. And then the second half of the book of Daniel really offers kind of a vision for the end of times and hope. What I found really interesting as I've been doing research on each one of these prophets as we've been doing this series is the hope that just oozes from the messages. And when I think about, you know, how quote-unquote difficult my life is, and I'm not saying, I'm being a smart aleck right now. My life is not difficult at all, right? I got in my air-conditioned car, drove here after taking a hot shower. When my children were little and they used to complain about things, I'd say, how many toilets are in our home? And if you have more than one, you need not to complain about anything. Right? We live in a time of abundance. We live in a time where we need speedy answers and we want speedy things, but yet we also live in a time where, frankly, I sometimes can't even bear to watch the news. I just can't do it. Sometimes I'll just ask my husband, is there anything I need to know about? Because sometimes just everything that's going on around is just too much. And Daniel is living amongst that with people taunting him, proclaiming that he is a fool. I mean, threats of death. And he has this peace about him. I mean, I've never met him. But as I read this scripture, I just envision one of those characters that walks into a room and just kind of brings calm. And to me, you can only truly do that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the roaring of the sea, the rolling of the hills, the stars in the sky, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So Daniel 6 is the story that we all know of Daniel and the lion's den, right? So there was this plot against Daniel, and everybody said that, you know, if you pray, you will be punished. And what does Daniel do? He prays. And not only does he prays in his front window. He does not hide his faith. He does not hide his belief. He is who he is, who he is every single day of the week. So we know the story. He gets thrown in the lion's den, and God's angels do what? They provide. They save his life. That's a story we've heard time and time again. I want to look at Daniel 7. It's not as easy as a read. It's not in very many VBS curriculums. It starts in my Bible as the vision of the four beasts. This talks about faith under pressure. And as I was kind of humorous about how easy my life is, it doesn't mean that each and every one of us don't carry something along with us each and every day that can just pressurize our faith and who we're called to be. You've heard me say it before, but I love that expression of what's in your cup. Right? Tonight, I walked in with a cup of hot tea, which sounded great in my office until I walked outside. But right, whatever's in your cup, if somebody bumps into you, that's what's going to spill out. So if you were to bump into me on the way in here, you would have gotten a delightful chai tea latte stain on your pants. But what's in your cup? Is it faith? Is it peace? Is it hope? Because the opposite of those are anger and anger and fear and darkness. Yet only through Christ can we be the true hope, the true peace, the true love. And so in Daniel 7, I'm going to read 1 through 14, so get comfy. In the first year, the king Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision as his head lay in bed. And he wrote down this dream. Daniel saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and the four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then, as I watched, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a human, and a human mind was given to it. Another beast appeared, a second one that looked like a bear, and it was raised up on one side, had 3 tusks, and its mouth among teeth, and it said, "Arise and devour many people." And as I watched, another appeared like a leopard, and this beast had 4 wings of a bird on its back and 4 heads, and it was given dominion. And after I saw this in the visions by night, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful. First of all, because the first three have been so delightful to think about. So this first, he says, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth and was devouring, breaking into pieces and just stomping what was left under its feet. It was different from all the beasts that preceded it. It had 10 horns. As I was considering the horns, another one appeared and another one to make room for it, and 3 earlier horns, and eyes like human eyes, and a mouth speaking arrogantly. And as I watched, thrones were set in place. An ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head pure wool, and the throne was fiery flames, and the wheels were burning fire, and streams of fire flowed, and thousands served him, and tens of thousands times 10 stood attending to him, and the court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I watched then because of the noise of the arrogant words that the horn was speaking, and as I watched, the beast was put to death, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned. For the rest of the beast, they were taken away, but their lives were prolonged in a season as timed. As I watched in this vision, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. And he was given total glory and kingship, that all people, all nations, and all languages should serve him. He is everlasting. It will not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. It's a lot for a Saturday night. I understand. But I want you to, see this language in this scripture for what it is. It's the pressure of the outside world coming from you from all different angles, right? Some beasts are able to fly. Some beasts stomp. Some beasts use their words to take over your thoughts, your minds, and your deeds. Yet the one has peace, comfort, and hope over all. There was a fable that Arthur was talking about today, and I didn't want to get it wrong, so I printed it out. It's called We'll See. As I'm telling you this fable, I want you to think about it in the theme of your life. How many times have you said, "We'll see"? There once was a farmer whose horse ran away, and his neighbor said, "That's terrible." The farmer replied, "We'll see." The next day, the horse returned, bringing 2 wild horses with it, and the neighbor explained, "How wonderful." The farmer said, "We'll see." Then the farmer's son tried to ride on the wild horse, was thrown off, and broke his leg. "That's awful," said the neighbor. The farmer answered, "We'll see." Days later, soldiers came to the village to draft all the young men for war, but passed over the farmer's son because of his injury. "What luck," said the neighbor. "We'll see," replied the farmer. You see, we love quick judgments. We love winners and losers, good guys and bad guys, tragedy and triumph. But Daniel, especially in chapter 7, shows us a different way. Daniel 6, we've got lions. We've got injustice. We've got the faithful one who's suffering. Daniel 7, beast rise. Thrones shift. The chaos reigns. Until the Son of Man appears. From the earth's view, things seem awful. But from the throne's room, God says, "We'll see." Listen, I'm one who loves quick things. I have an issue with ordering from Amazon. In fact, my husband needed shoes for our upcoming trip, and the website, I was like, "They're not going to get here till Thursday." Like it's some tragedy in our life. And I do. I like things black and white. I like things in the place that they should be. I have a really hard time with, we'll see, except for my faith. Because if I don't say we'll see, I say I'm right. And that means what? I'm better than God? I know more than God? No. God knows. That's not true. I can lean into my faith in a solid, truthful, with the peace and the dignity that comes with the Son of Man. Because if I don't, I crumble under the monster's feet that destroys everything that it walks on. Daniel shows us how we can live our life. Isn't that beautiful? The sound of rain, of renewal on the night of your baptism. Kind of perfect. I want to end in Matthew 25 that talks about the tension that we have. The tension that we live in today that is between promise and practice. Matthew 25, 31 through 36. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another. He will put the sheep at his right and the goats at his left. Then he will say, come that you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. I am not asking y'all to make a friend because I think it's going to grow the numbers of Saturday night. I am asking you to make a new connection here and wherever you go, because that is what we are called to do as Christians. To love our neighbors, to see our neighbors, to serve our neighbors, to be a humble spirit like Christ taught us. So as we faithfully leave this place in the rain tonight, live into this story of Daniel. This story that is in this tension in between our faith and our promises and our lives that we live. You are not perfect. You're not called to be perfect. You're called to be you. And do that well. Do that with compassion, with a heart. I read Daniel 7, as awkward as it was, because each one of you has a beast in your life. You might even have four. But the Son of Man can calm all the storms. The Son of Man can bring hope to desperate situations. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go forth tonight, we go forth grateful, humbled, honored to be your children. In this rain, let us be renewed of the hope that is in you, the Son of Man on your throne. As we go out, let us see each other as beloved children of God. Don't let us turn our eyes down or to the left, but embrace our neighbors and our friends and our family. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.